Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, you can email them to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. Before I introduce my co-hostess for tonight, I would like to just mention to people that we're starting to plan now for our next healing weekend, and the date is set for April 13th and 14th, and it's going to be in Orange County, California. I'm really so excited about that because we have so many wonderful California girls, as the saying goes, out there. And it will be such a pleasure to be with them. This is a very important and special weekend. It's going to be a little different than the other ones because some of the guest speakers and the workshops will be different. But you will definitely walk away feeling so much better than you walk in. Just the camaraderie alone will just lift your spirits. But the workshops and the therapists and counselors that I have coming will really get you on your road to moving towards healing. So if you are interested in getting more information or being on the list, I'm going to have to limit the size because of the effectiveness to the first 25 people who want to be there. Please write to me at bonkay@aol.com and please put in the headline Healing Weekend. And that way I'll know to put you on the list, and the information will start going out in early fall, September, October. And I just think it's going to be a magnificent, the best ever weekend. And how can you ever go wrong in sunny California? Also, my newsletter came out two weeks ago. And the new one will be coming out in 2 weeks from now. If you're not on my newsletter list and you want to be in it, on it, just write to me at bonkay@aol.com. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce my co-hostess for tonight, and I'm very excited to have her return appearance. This is Dr. Maggie Bonet. Maggie, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Bonnie, thank you for having me.
And Maggie, for people who missed your last show, Maggie is in a very hot part of the country right now.
in the
Atlanta, Georgia area, right?
Yes.
Actually, I'm looking for any place in this country that's cool at the moment, because that would be a really big break. I know here it's really oppressive heat in Philadelphia, and I just spoke to my friend Dr. Brian Hooper in Nashville, and he said it is really hot there too. So I think it's just the whole country's dwelling with heat.
I think so.
But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, and I lived in Atlanta for a short time, right outside in Decatur. And it was like a big shock from where I'm living now. You know, just the heat alone was really, you know, you think you've had it bad till you go down south, and that's when you really learn about heat. So I appreciate your taking time to cool off with us tonight, Maggie. Because you were so impressed with last time. I really appreciated your insight. And you are a therapist. You know, you have a master's degree in community counseling. And you also are a nurse. So you have a double health profession there, right?
Yes, I do. I have a BSN in nursing, a master's in counseling, and a doctorate in clinical sexology.
Well, I think that covers everything.
Yes.
Pretty much, right? I guess you can solve any problem for anybody with any kind of problems, which is wonderful.
I wish that I could, but it definitely was my goal to be able to cover all aspects and provide holistic care to the best of my ability. So, yes.
Okay, well, that's really good news, because that will be so helpful to, you know, the women that we work with. And I just wanted to talk about a few things tonight and just get your input from them. First of all, last week, during the week, there was an episode on television about the women who were part of the Me Too movement, and they were going back to them, and that was the movement where women stood up for themselves and talked about you know, sexual abuse. And it was mostly women who were in show business, and then, of course, in the athletics with the women from the Olympics, they had their next big movement. But I believe it started out more or less as a movie kind of theme, and against male stars who were doing sexual harassment to women, and of course some men too, you know, just not primarily women, but there were some men involved in it also who were being sexually harassed by other men. And it was a very big ordeal when it first came out, because it was movie star after movie star, and even with the Bill Cosby trial, maybe that started even before this, where people, women were accusing Bill Cosby of sexual misconduct. And then you went to Harvey Weinstein and so many other movie stars. Kevin Spacey came out, and, you know, a lot of people were under attack. So this week on television, they did a special on, you know, one of the Good Morning shows with Gayle King. And they went back to the women who had come out, I guess, a year and a half ago as part of this movement to see how they feel now. So a lot of women stated that they were coming along really well with this because they had their chance to speak their mind. And, you know, they felt they were victims, which they were. And by exposing it, and of course, when people heard about it, they were outraged and very sympathetic to these women. And they were getting the validation that they were looking for. And they said that they were able to heal because of this, that many of them were able to heal and move on, that this experience of speaking up for themselves was validating. And they had held it in for all those years, afraid to tell people because of how people, well, first of all, I think going back in our society before, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but, you know, when I was growing up, if you claimed rape, then, you know, once again, the finger was pointed at you. What did you do to get raped?
Yes.
Were you dressing wrong? Were you dressing seductively? And that changed over the years. You know, I've been so happy to see that change in the last 20, 25 years, starting that women are victims, not the ones creating it. But the point is that, you know, at least people weren't looking, you know, people were afraid to come back to talk about it back then because they would be accused of lewd behavior. So that part has changed. But what it made me think about and what I started writing about for my next month's newsletter is the fact that we take longer to heal as straight wives because we suffer in silence. We don't speak out. And because when we do speak out, for some reason, people are getting this really mixed up. They're still coming up with, well, your husband wasn't gay when you married him, so did you do something that made him gay? Or they'll say, well, we knew your husband was gay, so we assumed you knew it. I mean, how come we knew it and you didn't? Or they come up with all kinds of negative things towards us. So, I understand why women don't want to speak out. Like, you know, you don't go out screaming, I had a gay husband. You know, I'm proud. I had a gay husband. It's nothing to be proud of. You know, it's just one of those unfortunate incidents that happen in life. But then when you do speak out, you're kind of shut down. So what I was wondering, for you could answer this question, you know, as a therapist, do you feel because of the fact that we don't feel validated when we try to speak out, that that's what hinders the healing process?
I do think that it definitely can hinder the healing process because you don't have anyone to whom you can entrust and confide in. And so you're not speaking it out of yourself. For example, one thing that I always say to people is that you've got to regurgitate the toxic that's inside of you to let it go in order for you to begin to feel better. So if you're harboring it and you're not able to talk about it, you're not able to let it go into the open and release it, I think it can have a major negative impact on you, on your health, and on your healing process. Absolutely.
I think that if we were able to talk about it more freely and we were, not that we wouldn't be able to talk about it, but if people could recognize that we are victims, we have, you know, not purposely victimized, but we're victims of the situation. And I know that when gay men speak out and they say, well, they're victims of society, and I get it, I really do. I grew up in a time when you really couldn't be gay without suffering consequences. But on the other hand, if you feel like a victim, what does your wife feel like? I mean, is she any less of a victim? I mean, she's not the person who put you into the marriage. You asked her to marry you under pretenses that weren't 100% right. And yet, why aren't women recognized as also being equally or celebrated or recognized? This is a part I really haven't gotten to understand yet. Do you have any insights on that?
Well, honestly, Bonnie, I've been thinking a lot about that because the word straight wife in and of itself is not something most people even ever heard of. A lot of people have never heard of it. People are not recognizing that there is this category of women or this group of women who are married to gay men unwillingly. And again, we keep emphasizing the issue is not with gay men. It's not about sexual orientation. It's about deceit. It's about lies. It's about the hurt that you cause someone by bringing them into a relationship in a situation that they completely were unaware of and the pain that you caused them throughout that time. So people are not at all familiar with women in these situations. And I think I said previously, too, that even a lot of my friends as therapists are unaware of that population or what to do with them if they should encounter someone in that situation. I think we need to be talking a lot more about it. We need to bring it more to the forefront, and more people need to not be ashamed because you didn't bring this upon yourself, just like all these other situations in the past that were not spoken of, that women did not talk about being raped, that they did not talk about other situations, because people will not believe them, people would not support them. But at some point, you got sick and tired of being sick and tired enough that you start stepping up, and you find more and more people like yourself who are going to be able to stand alongside you to let the word be known, yes, this is a problem for us. So I think until we can start talking about it and bringing it to awareness, we're not going to get the support that we need.
And I agree with you. I think that's why, you know, we're a community of silence. We're millions of women who keep ourselves hushed up. And I understand it. I really do. You know, I don't judge anybody, or I don't say to women, well, why can't you stand with me? I mean, some people just can't. And some people
Absolutely.
Are afraid. And some people have families that can't accept it. They come from religious backgrounds. Would you say that's true, too?
Absolutely. And I would not even stand here as a hypocrite to say that this is something that I openly and willingly was willing to let people know about me. It took me a long,
uh-huh.
long time before I could talk to people. So I'm speaking from experience and understanding because I, too, would not talk to people about my situation. I, too, felt like what was wrong with me. So I completely, completely get it. And no, it's not going to happen for every person. It's a matter of when people are ready. Even up until now with the Me Too movement, there are still women out there who may not be willing to come up and say, yes, I've been raped or molested or sexually harassed. But you can definitely, hopefully, we can start with those who are ready, who are feeling empowered enough to talk about it, to start talking about it and bring it to awareness and letting others know that they are supported even if they wish to maintain silence. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to pretend that it's easy.
No, I think it's an excellent answer you're giving. I think it really says what it's about. It's about not being afraid to speak up. And, you know, first you can't, I think it's hard to speak up if you're feeling ashamed of yourself. Do you think that's part of it too?
Absolutely. And you do feel ashamed because for the longest time, you were made to feel that you were responsible. You were accused of everything being wrong, being your fault. And so you start doubting yourself. There's a lot of self-doubt, which leads to low self-esteem. And that's for most of us. I wouldn't say all of us, but that's for most of us. So, yeah, you have this level of shame. So you're not able to feel empowered to come out and talk about anything. Again, it's really about each one of us empowering the other, and it's going to take time. I don't believe it's something that can easily be done, but I believe it can be done.
One of the things that I always say, and it's so true, that if I had $1 million and I could give up working and just do what I want to do, I would spend the money just doing more and more research on self-esteem because I just find it so interesting that when I was younger, I really had very low self-esteem, which I don't think is that uncommon to women in general. But if you weren't one of the, quote, pretty girls or popular girls or thin girls or, you know, had nice hair girls or whatever it was, you know,
mm-hmm.
you grew up in an environment of feeling unwanted or not accepted. And I think that many of us, not because of any other special, I think it's very common for a lot of women. But the point is that I never quite understand that, you know, women who really come from functional families and who seem to have self-esteem, but they really don't. And self-esteem is so interesting to me because I've met the most beautiful women that you can imagine who've come to me for help, who literally had one woman who was voted sexiest woman on TV in Canada. You know, I've had the most beautiful, and, you know, if you come to our group gatherings, I look at these women, they're like Barbie dolls and models, many of them. And you think to yourself, boy, if I look like that, how could I ever have self-esteem? But I think a lot of it is based on how you grow up, the messages you're getting from your family. And I have found that many of our women come from families where there were unstable family backgrounds. So you don't have what a real, quote, normal relationship should be like. And sometimes I look at women who came out of families that were so unstable, and it was like going from the frying pan into the fire, even though you thought you were already in the fire and things could only get better, and somebody was reaching out his hand to you and telling you that he loved you. And what did you know from love? Because you didn't come from a loving home to start with, so it was easy to be misled by somebody who had a different agenda. Do you think that's a possibility there?
That is definitely a possibility. And, you know, I think one thing that I found to be very interesting with regards to the straight white population, as I did my research, is that most of the women, not that they came from a place of low self-esteem to start off with, but most of these women are women who are very kind and giving. I don't want to say vulnerable, but I definitely want to say these are people with the characteristic of being taken advantage of to some degree because of your kindness and your trust in people from whatever it stems from, whatever, you know, from wherever this particular characteristic stems from, a lot of us have it. And so for some reason we do attract men who, or these men are attracted to women who definitely are already in a place where they're very giving, very caring, very trusting to a point of fault.
I think that they know this ahead of time, and I think this is what they look for, that prototype in a woman, someone who's a, quote, caretaker, as we like to, you know, call women in our situations, someone who's accepting, you know, someone who's pro-gay. I think all of us are very pro-gay, which I try to equate that has nothing to do with having a gay husband. You know, people like to throw fingers at us saying that we're homophobic because we don't want to be married to a gay man. Homophobia and having a gay husband are not related. Am I right?
That is so far from the truth. Absolutely, you're right.
No, I don't get it. I mean, you know, because you're not happy with your gay husband, and right away people call you names. You're against the gay community. I mean, I get these issues all the time with people writing to me that I'm anti-gay because I'm bashing gay husbands. I'm not bashing gay husbands at all. It's not a matter of bashing. It's a matter of enlightening people that there is a situation that's an unhealthy situation for most women.
Absolutely. Right? I'm glad you said that, Bonnie, because that is a definite concern. When it comes to straightwise, more than often, I do get the sense that people feel like a lot of the straightwise are homophobic. And I constantly have to reiterate, the problem is absolutely not with sexual orientation. It has absolutely nothing to do with sexual orientation. It has everything to do with a person who chooses to live a life of lies and deceit, and as a result causes pain and harm to someone else. They chose to bring someone into a relationship to hide their sexual orientation because of society. And as a result, this person's life was destroyed for the most part. So that is the biggest problem, not the person's sexual orientation. And I am not quite sure why it's so hard for people to understand that. But, and, you know, unfortunately, we're still going to have people who are going to choose to say it's about being homophobic. But I'm okay with that as long as I know that, and I know for most of the women that I've met, that is not their situation. They are not homophobic, but they are bothered by the lies and the deceit that they were caught into.
And I think that going beyond that, you know, as I try to explain in my last newsletter, you know, it's not that you're homophobic because most of us are very pro-gay going into a marriage. However, now that we've been brought into the gay community, not by choice, you know, that wasn't our choice to now be part of it, you know, the gay community needs to understand that it's not about being homophobic. It's about being brought into an aspect of life that we weren't planning on. So in other words, when you marry a gay man and you have children and he leaves you, now you have the gay father issue to deal with. That means in most cases now we are now part of that gay community because now that the father has decided to live his authentic life, it's a gay life. So now something that we were never expecting or never planning on, and it was fine when it was other people, when it comes to us, it's a whole new story. And accepting, it's very hard physically or mentally to imagine the man you're loving is loving some other man. And I'm sorry if people have trouble understanding that, but that's a fact. I mean, it's bad enough when it's another woman. But the fact that your husband's embracing and making love to another man, it's a totally different thing. It's a totally different phenomena. Am I right?
Yes, it is. Because you didn't go in with that expectation. And it's a different situation because it's a different gender. You know, we always talk about you cannot compete with a different anatomical part. Not that you choose to, but like you said, it's hard enough when your husband's having an affair with another woman. But when it becomes another man, there's really not much you can do in order to salvage that relationship, because there is no interest in you as a female. So it makes it a lot harder, because frequently you want to work on the relationship. You want to salvage it. You want to fight for it when there's infidelity. You want to do whatever you can as a woman to keep your marriage and keep it going. But in a situation like that, it becomes a little bit more hopeless. And so it makes it a little bit harder. It's very complex. It's really hard to understand. But, yeah, it's a complex situation.
And I think also a lot of it is cultural differences and religious differences, that the expectations for marriage for some people are totally different. Where it's just so sad to me when I work with women from cultures where, you know, marriage is expected no matter what, including a gay husband. And
yes.
I work with women from outside this country, in India, in Arab countries, in the Middle East, and they are really kind of stuck. And you think to yourself, here are women who every day for the rest of their lives have to just make the best of a miserable situation, and that they don't have a quality of life because their families won't allow them to have one, because the pressures are that you just can't get divorced, which used to be very similar to how it was here in the U.S., you know, 30, 40 years ago, that you just kind of had to soak it up and live with it, you know, because if you came from a Christian religion or, you know, any kind of fundamentalist religion, Jewish or Muslim, you know, you were just expected to stay in those marriages and make the best of it. And even to this day, I'm sure there are religions that are also putting pressure on women that, you know, your husband can change, he can find God, because I have those women coming to me, staying in marriages longer than they need to because they feel they're betraying their religion if they leave the marriage, when their ministers or priests or, you know, ever talking to them, you know, is telling them that you need to stay. So what do you think about the religious angle on this?
Well, I actually relate a little bit too closely to what you're saying. I think I mentioned previously I was in one of those religions. I was part of a congregation where you could not leave, and yet unless you had actual biblical reasons for leaving, which normally would be infidelity or that your spouse walked away from the faith, as they said, but there were a lot of men in my congregation that were known to be gay men, and they were definitely encouraged and advised to be married and to stay married, because they can change, that God can change them, and that they can live a life, a heterosexual life with prayer and faith. And if a woman, I do have a person that I do know who married one of these guys. She was not fully aware that he was gay, and it was a shock to her, and unfortunately, the congregation did not inform her that the man that she was marrying was gay, because they prayed it out of him. And it ended up that they're now divorced because he chose to go back to the lifestyle.
And, you know, that's a big problem, because I find that within, you know, last week I had my dear friend Suzette Vernon on, and Suzette's been part of the show for the last 5-6 years, and she does coaching. And, in fact, she has her series for good men coming up for women who are looking to find out what good men are looking for. But the thing is that Suzette married her gay husband twice because she came from a very strict background, you know, from a black church where, you know, divorce was really not a good thing at all. And she left her husband the first time, but then he came back to her and he said, you know, the church helped him. He realized that he was wrong, that he can change. He prayed to God, and now he's better. And she was doubtful, but, you know, she had a son. She didn't want to break up a family. And he was begging her, you know, please, it'll be different this time. And so she married him a second time. And it was the same thing. Nothing changed. And so, you know, it was just a lesson that we have to learn. And I don't think some of these men are being deceitful at all. As I always say, I think they're just trying to kid themselves. You know, they're hoping that against hope that these feelings won't be there. And I think if you badger it into a guy long enough, you're not having these feelings, you better not be having these feelings, that they can suppress them for a while. But I always call it like, you know, a dry alcoholic. You know, now there are those alcoholics who can stop the drinking, but their behavior is the same. And they're not any happier now that they've stopped drinking. They're resentful and miserable because they still want to drink, but they stay dry. And I think the same thing for many of these men who are trying to stay in these relationships. Maybe they'll suppress themselves for a while, but they start resenting you more than ever and start mistreating you because you're the one who's stopping them from being who they are in their heads. We may not even know anything about what they're thinking, but they're thinking this. And you're the one who has the key to the prison.
Yes, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was having this conversation just earlier in terms of the complexity of the straight white situation. One of the hardest things is when this starts to happen, when the resentment starts to build up because they're in a lie, they're living a life that they don't want to live, they're feeling pressured and forced to be heterosexual. They thought they could be a heterosexual man, a straight man, and when it's becoming clearer and clearer that they cannot live the life of a straight man, then that frustration translates into how they treat their wives. And I think that's why so many straight wives, unfortunately, build up so much anger and resentment. First, it's the lie and the deceit. But it's also the way many of us are treated as a result of this person's lack of happiness with who they are.
That, and also making us lose our feminine spirit, which I think is the biggest crime of all.
Oh,
they take away
weird.
Our sexuality. They take away who we are as women. You know, they make us just stunted as far as our sexual growth or enjoyment. They make us feel ashamed and that we're doing something bad or wrong. So that we'll just stop asking to have sex. And it's like I tell women, when you go to bed at night and your husband's laying next to you, you're both thinking about the same thing. You're both thinking about sex. You're thinking about how can I get my husband to make love to me? And he's thinking about how can I say no? How many excuses can I keep coming up with to say no? So as much as you want it, it's as much as he's thinking about how do I get out of it. And I think, I don't know about how you would feel on this, Maggie, but I know for myself, if we lived in a society where straight was against the rules and people had to be gay, then maybe at some point in my life I would have met some woman and I would have had to live with her. But guess what? I would resent that woman every day because I'm just not a lesbian. I'm a straight woman. And how can I live my life making love to somebody and feeling uncomfortable or not wanting it or feeling sick from it? And this is why these men feel this way, because they're gay men. They're not straight men.
Exactly.
And I know that some of the men, when they say to me, well, sex was good for me, no, it wasn't. You were just doing what you had to do. And you weren't enjoying it. You know, they said, well, it was okay. Well, yeah, for the few times that you did it, but you couldn't, you know, keep doing it. How do you feel on that?
I do, and again, I don't know quite why or if, in fact, because there are some bisexual men for whom they're okay with having sex with women. But I do know, and I completely relate to what you're saying, because in my situation, when you talked about laying there and he's trying to figure out ways of saying no, that couldn't be, it was just so clear. I would literally come upstairs, he runs downstairs, I go downstairs, he runs upstairs. It was very comical. It was incredibly comical. But, yeah, it is a possibility. That, and I agree with you. I, too, as a straight woman, couldn't feel like if I was being forced to be in a relationship, in a lesbian relationship, I would totally resent that. So I do understand where they're coming from. But I think as adults, we have a responsibility to others and a responsibility to ourselves to be true to ourselves and to others, to be authentic. And so for me, that's where I have an issue because, yes, you are uncomfortable with who you are and you are forced to live this life. But at some point in your conscious mind, does it ever occur to you that you're hurting someone else with your actions?
I don't think they really think on that level because, as I say, gay men do not think straight. And that's not an insult. That's not a knock. It's just a reality. Straight men have the sensitivity because they are straight. Gay men don't understand it. And gay men themselves feel like they're victims in the marriage. You know, they don't acknowledge that maybe we're feeling like we're victims. That's why it really bothers me when I work with men who come to me, and I have several hundred men a year who come to me for help in getting out of their marriages. And when they say to me that, you know, this was not the only issue, there were a lot of other issues why, you know, I feel this way. No, this is the only issue, because if you were a straight man, these other issues wouldn't bother you. My whole point is you're not thinking like a straight man would think. You're thinking like a gay man would think. And don't be blaming your wife because she was suspicious of you. She should have been suspicious of you. You're out there cheating with men with her. Women know when there's something wrong. You're trying to avoid her sexually for 20 years and telling me that she's not interesting in bed. Well, it wouldn't matter how interesting she was. You're a gay man. You wouldn't find it interesting. You know, so I try to call them to reality check here. Like, stop blaming your wife. You made a mistake. You're doing the right thing. You're trying to fix it. You're going to tell her the truth. You know, I've had several men this year tell me, well, do I really have to tell her the truth? Can't I just say, you know, it's not working out? I said, no, you have to tell her the truth.
Yes.
You owe her that truth. I said, she's not going to feel any better if you don't tell her the truth. She'll always be blaming herself, wondering why she couldn't keep your marriage together. Is that fair to do to her? You know, and usually they come around. But unfortunately, there's groups out there that tell men, don't tell your wife, because if you do, she's going to soak you in court. You know, she's going to go after custody of the children. Well, you know, we know that today it doesn't matter. The fact that you're gay doesn't not get you custody of your children. That's not a reason not to give custody. You know, it's good parenting skills that get you the custody. Doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. So you can't even use those excuses anymore. But they really do feel on some level that things will be worse. You know, the family will find out. Your wife will expose you. You know, so in other words, don't tell your wife. Be dishonest with her so you can keep covering, you know, for yourself. And to me, that's very selfish. And that's what I tell them. Do you agree with that?
And I agree. I totally agree. I personally believe you should let them know. Because what ends up happening when you leave and she has absolutely no clue? All the times you were blaming her, all the times you were accusing her of being the person who's causing problems in the relationship, of the reason why you don't want to have sex with her, you don't want to sleep with her, the discord in the marriage was always her fault. You leave her with all of that burden. You leave this woman with all of this, making her feel less and less secure in who she is, not just as a woman, but in who she is as a person. And I do think that it is really harmful to the other individual if you don't tell them the truth, so they can begin to recognize that, you know, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. The problem wasn't always me. Not to say they're perfect, but in the situations where they always thought they should take blame, it would be very helpful to know why these things were happening so that they can begin to heal and be able to open to other relationships. But without that, you're hindering the person from moving forward and from healing and living a healthy life.
And I also think that women never actualize themselves and they never become the women they were meant to be, because they're spending their life in a state of so-called depression or anxiety, always wondering what they're doing wrong. And I know that for me, you know, I said this long ago, I have a wonderful soulmate for almost 25 years now. And every day when I wake up, I feel inspired. And I do things that are, you know, inspirational, whether it be writing, whether it be teaching, whether it be counseling, because I feel someone is there behind me. But when I was in my marriage, I was so stifled because I was so worried about what he was doing all the time that I was afraid to leave the house because I was afraid of what I'd come into. And every day I was just existing. So, maybe I was a little naggier than I would have been, and maybe I was more suspicious than I should have been, but it was all based on the reality that I was living in. So I don't even, when I left that marriage, I didn't even know who I was anymore. And I think that's where, you know, therapy really starts, or someone, you know, who's going through this, and that's something that you can do with women. You can really work with women to start to get unfold all that baggage that they lived with. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it does really require, well, I don't want to say it requires therapy. I don't want to make people feel that they must go to therapy. But if you do not choose to see a therapist or a coach, hopefully you will find some individual who is very supportive, very understanding, to help you through the, or to begin to start with the healing process. But I think a lot of times, because we're so confused, we are left so confused, so distorted. Our mind is so distorted about who we are. You've lost a sense of self, that trying to do the work on your own can be incredibly challenging. So I do agree that in that sense, it's encouraged, at least, not required, but definitely encouraged to seek therapy.
And if you're going to seek therapy, I think it's wonderful if you could seek therapy with someone who is supportive, understanding, and I think that women who have gone through this have the best, you know, insight on this, because they understand mm-hmm. exactly what you're going through. It's kind of like when they tell you that if you're going through recovery, I work with a lot of people in the recovery community, and they say the best people for counseling, you know, for therapy are people who are in recovery themselves, because they understand everything you're thinking and feeling. And I say
right.
the same thing about this, that if you're going to go to a therapist, you know, I would certainly want to go to one who was understanding of my situation and who could work with me knowing how I really feel
mm-hmm.
and realizing what steps I have to take to get to where I want to get to. So that you're not dealing with somebody who's unfamiliar or maybe, because not all therapists understand the situation. Am I correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have colleagues who are asking, what do you do in this situation? It is a little bit different. It's not a lot different when you're leaving the relationship and you are leaving a relationship where your husband was cheating with another man versus with a woman. It is a lot different. Again, I can't say enough how complex it is to be a straight wife and the emotions that come with it. How do you say that? Domestic violence and physical abuse and all these things are very relevant and very prominent, and you can almost actually see the negative effects of the behavior or of what these people have done to you. In straight white situation, it's not as concrete, but the negative effect of what has been done to you is incredibly just as severe.
Uh-huh.
Unless you know
what
absolutely.
I'm saying. Absolutely, and sometimes it's so hard to untangle it. And not only that, Maggie, but when people come from abusive families to start with, where there was dysfunction and no sense of normalcy, it's really
mm-hmm.
even that much harder, because they don't even know what a normal type of life would be like, what it would look like, because they've never
yes.
been in one. So I think
yes.
having therapy to go back and talk about that and how you got to this point and why you were willing to accept what you did. And I think this is what bothers women a lot too, that they always feel like, why was I able to live with this? Why did I let myself stay in it? Why didn't I act sooner? I think a lot of us were, we're still beating ourselves up. And I think that's another reason why, you know, it takes longer to recover. Because we have these issues that we were in an abusive situation for so long, you know, why did we stay so long? Do you have any answers to that? Why do women stay so long?
I think, again, I will use the domestic violence situation. You hear in domestic violence that a woman can leave at least 7 to 13 times before they actually really leave a situation. There's always that hope that the person can change. There's always that hope that maybe something you weren't doing you can do differently and win them over. It's just, again, a sense, in my opinion and also experience, it's this belief of hope that things will be different. And you keep on holding to that level of hope and faith that things are going to be different. So every single situation that happens, you come back to the table with renewed hope and faith that things are going to be different. And then 20 years later, you find yourself still hoping and believing that things are going to be different, but it's not. And soon, and eventually, you're going to have to say enough is enough. But unfortunately, the way it turns out for most of us is that you find out that you were married to a gay man, and that propels you to leave the relationship. But other than that, just always that really strong sense of hope that things are going to be different. And it's very similar to a woman who's in a domestic violence situation. They talk about the battered woman syndrome. I don't know what the name would be, but you're not physically battered, but frequently women who are straight wives are emotionally battered. Wouldn't you say? Yeah.
They're all I would say that 95% of them are emotionally battered. And even, you know, I don't want people to get the impression that men are sitting there just shouting and screaming at women. Some of them do. I was, in particular, I had a rageaholic for, you know, an ex-husband, for my husband when I was married to him. But well, some women have like that. But other men, you know, they're trying their best. But because they're not where they need to be, rather than take responsibility, it's easier, even if it's passive-aggressive behavior, you know, building you up to slap you down and making you feel that, you know, you're doing something wrong. Because obviously, if I'm not wanting you and I don't want to hold you and kiss you and make love to you, I'm not the problem. You're the problem because you can't accept the fact that maybe you are the problem, that you'll look to make problems, that your wife is doing something wrong. So even if it's not blatant or overt, you know, emotional abuse, it is emotional abuse. And I do agree with you that it takes time until, you know, you have to stop believing these negative messages and start first, you know, believing in yourself that this has nothing to do with me, that I have nothing to do with the situation, and take yourself and put yourself outside the box and look in and see what's going on and see that you've done nothing wrong. You've done you know, you're the best. I always say straight wives are the best wives because we try so much harder than everyone else to try to please a husband who can never be pleased. That's our reality. Absolutely. There's nothing we can do to make them love us more or want us more. But the point is that we try harder than anyone to make the marriage work. But I do agree with you in the sense that it's really hard, you know, when you think that maybe things can change, maybe he won't be thinking that if I'm a better wife. I think we all go through that. But I think also it's really hard breaking up a family, and especially if these guys are in denial, because a lot of them will never admit it to you. I mean, you can catch them, and they're going to say that you're imagining it. I mean, they're in such deep denial. So I think maybe that's why it's hard, too, because at least if you had some, you know, solid concrete proof, you can say, I can't live with this. But when you have no solid concrete proof, but everything is pointing in that direction, I think that's another problem why people stay so long. Do you think that's possible, too?
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, and I'll have to say that was definitely one of my reasons for staying so long is the lack of concrete proof, even though everything else was facing me. And it was right in my face. But I do find a lot of women are, they start doubting, well, is it me? Is it really true? Because he say he's not, because you may confront them and they completely deny it, or there's always a twist. So you start wondering, well, am I looking for faults? But, so that's another reason why people keep going, because you don't have that concrete proof, even though everything else is leading towards that.
And I think also that once you say the word gay, that's a definite death sentence, you know, in a marriage, almost all marriages. There's no way that you can work around that. I mean, some women will live with it, for whatever the reasons are, and I certainly don't judge them. That doesn't mean they're happy, but they may be stuck at the moment, or maybe they feel they're too old to start over, you know, whatever their reason is. But it doesn't mean they're going to be happy, as especially when you know when your husband's going out, having to worry every time when a man is walking out the door what he's doing. That, to me, took a lot of energy. I know I was that way. You know, I was like the best detective in the world, always scouting out what he's doing, who he's with, because I knew it was never good. You know, maybe 99 out of 100 times he didn't do anything, but I knew that 100th time, and I just didn't know when that shoe would be dropping. So I think that we live our lives in a state of being a detective, trying to spy out, trying to make the best of things, trying to, It's like living in a state of limbo because you can never really feel great about life. You're just existing. Did you feel like you were existing too?
Yes. Yeah, you are. You are just, well, not in every situation. Again, I hate to seem like I'm generalizing because I don't want to be generalizing, but
from your experience.
Majority of women, right. And I personally felt like I was just existing. It got to that point where, and that's when you start losing yourself and losing who you are as a person, is when you're just simply merely existing in a relationship. You know, going back to something that you said earlier, and I'm so glad that you made that clarification, not every man, and when I talked about being emotionally battered, not every man in these situations are verbally abusive or mentally abusive outwardly. But when you are putting this person in a position of feeling very insecure and unsafe, you may not be mean to them. You may not be malicious, and your intents are not even malicious.
Absolutely.
But it is still causing some emotional harm to this individual because they are left feeling very insecure and most of the time wondering what the heck is going on because there's no clear answer. So I'm glad you made that statement because not all these men are being mean and malicious to their women. However, they're still leaving them at some point in some ways emotionally battered because there's a lot of insecurity, a lot of unknowing, a lot of self-doubt, and it's just very, it can get overwhelming for most of these women.
I think a lot of these marriages would heal better if men could just say, I made a mistake and I am sorry. I'm going to do everything I can in the future to try to make it up by being emotionally supportive to you and the family, financially responsible, and you don't have to spend $10,000 finding a lawyer to take me to court when I should be supporting you to start with. I think the way these marriages end a lot of times really reflects on the healing. Like, I know some men who are very responsible. I mean, it doesn't take away or negate everything they've done throughout the marriage, but at least they're making the effort to try to show some, you know, to remorse or make it up or say, I'm sorry. So I think healing becomes easier when you have a husband who's trying to do the right thing. But I don't know, you know, we see a lot of our women getting stuck because their husbands just don't care. And they're not doing anything to help make the situation any better. And I do understand to a point, you know, they're out on their new life and they feel they've missed out on the last 30 years by, like, and they're thinking that they've been dedicated to their families, and now it's their turn. But, you know, I just don't understand how they just don't have the conscience to go and try to do the right thing or realize that their wives and their families, all of a sudden, everything's being, you know, smashed away from them. So I think that the more understanding they have on what they need to do, the healing would be faster. Do you think that would be helping it?
I could not agree with you more, Bonnie, because I did meet a woman who had an amazing relationship with her ex-husband and his new, at the time, I don't think they could get married, so his new mate. The family was able to heal because they had such a relationship. He was definitely very remorseful. He was definitely open about, this is not what I wanted to do. I did not meet, you know, this is not where I wanted to go. And this is a couple who's much older. So definitely there was no way for this man back in the days. We're talking about at this point, they're probably in their 70s. And well, he passed away, she said. But when they did end the relationship, he was supportive. He was supportive of the family. He did help with the healing process. And as a result, it was so much easier for this woman to forgive the act, to forgive him, actually. Maybe not the act, but to forgive him and move on to a point where they can actually have a cordial and friendly relationship until his passing. So you're absolutely correct. If the man could make amends, show true remorse, take responsibility for what has happened, it will be a lot easier to start the healing process. It will be a lot easier for a lot of the women to forgive.
Absolutely, and I think that's where it has to start, that they have to recognize damage done, fix it. It's not that complicated. And so I'm hoping that when more of our message gets out, that's the most important message, that you broke something, but some things you can fix. I'm not saying everything. It doesn't mean the women are going to feel better and not feel resentful, but at least they can feel that there's a sense, if you have to have a family together and you have children together, I mean, that should be the most important thing. But I feel so bad for our women who have to pretend like, you know, they're happy after the situation for the sake of the children, when the husband's not even bending at all or helping at all. So I think healing takes place, you know, a lot of the times on his part. So I'm glad we agree with that. Before we have to go, because this time really is running too fast, and I really appreciate your coming, and I hope you'll come back soon. Could you talk a little bit? I know that you're... I know. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Yes.
So for our last couple of minutes, I just want to talk a little bit about your practice, and I know that you're looking to start a support group in the near future in the Atlanta area.
Yes,
so
I would absolutely.
So when people do this broadcast, I'm putting down your email address when the information goes up after the show. I'll have your email address in there for women who are looking to, you know, meet with Maggie in a supportive situation with other women in the Atlanta, Georgia area. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, my goal is to actually, because at this point, I don't know if there are other support groups out there. I have not seen any. And I do know that there are, I'm certain, there are quite a few straight wives in the Atlanta area. So I would love to be able to start a support group for women who are in this situation. And it would be in the beginning a free support group. I would like to probably start in the fall. It is not an established support group at this time. So I am looking for people who are interested. I'm willing to start with a small group and we can grow from there. It can be a small intimate group and the details will come as the group forms. But yes, I think it would be ideal for us to come together and be a support for one another and walk alongside each other as we heal.
Right. And especially going to a support group with a therapist has such a different effect than just a plain support group. So I like to bring that out because a lot of these support groups, you know, are all well-meaning, no doubt. But people come from very different points of view, and some make people feel guilty because they want to leave their marriage. Others saying you have to learn how to live in your marriage, you know, which is not very healthy for most of the women who want to get out of their marriage. So at least, you know, you can talk to a therapist who's lived through this kind of marriage and who works with women in these marriages who can give you a true insight and make you feel better about yourself. So having support is a wonderful opportunity. Having support with Maggie Bonet is the best opportunity. And I will say this again, because I mentioned it once before, Maggie, that when you were doing your research towards your doctoral, you know, that you came to me and, you know, said, would there be women who would be willing to work with you on this and get, you know, be interviewed. And I've never seen such a group of women anywhere who just fell in love with you and thought you were the most wonderful woman. It was the most wonderful experience they had with you. And, you know, that's why I felt so happy, because, you know, that's not always the case. But with you, every single woman just loved you. So I feel so confident in supporting everything you do. And I think that all women will really benefit from, you know, whatever Maggie's doing. And if you need a therapist, now, do you do phone coaching by any chance, like some of our other therapists do?
I do some coaching, yes. Not as much right now, but yes.
But you can, right?
Absolutely. I certainly can, and I'm always open. And, you know, again, my heart is with this population because I am one myself. So needless to say, I have a definite personal interest. And I'm just honored to be able to be a part of the group and the women that I've met to allow me to be a part of their lives. And I'm open to doing whatever I can. And in the support group, I would also be offering tools to help you manage whatever you're going through. So you're absolutely right. It's just not a support group, but you will also be able to walk away with some tools to help you cope.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So I hate to impose, but maybe I can get a little commitment from you to come back soon.
It is always my pleasure, Bonnie. It's always an honor.
Great. And the same here. So hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll hook up again. I really appreciate you being here. I wish I was in Atlanta. I'd be the first one coming to your support group because I know you're wonderful. And thank you so much, Maggie, for being part of this network and helping our women. And love to all our women. I know every week is hopefully a better week for you. But use the resources that are available to you so they can become much better. So to all of our listeners out there, love all of you. Maggie, I love you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie. Much love, and thank you for having me. You have a wonderful evening.
All right. You too. Take care, and good night, everyone.